Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
You might recall our conversation with the National Consumer Commission and also our discussion regarding food poisoning, risks with products, and accountability. How you're able to hold corporations accountable if you have food poisoning, if there's a death that comes from this. And my next conversation is one that I think is critical. Why is it that companies always find it so hard to acknowledge wrongdoing and to apologize, particularly where loss of life, illness, or a financial impact is concerned? My guest, Tsepo Matsiba, is the Managing Director of Reputation First, who talks to us a little bit about this. Tsepo, welcome to Kaya Biz. Thank you so much for joining us. Is it fair for me, first of all, to make the statement that companies tend to find it difficult to apologize?
Good evening, Rafilu. Thank you for inviting me. I think companies or organizations, sometimes even including the state, when they are facing difficulties that impact their reputation, and that may affect, especially for the private sector, that might affect their share price, or that may affect shareholder value, or that may affect the trust that customers have in terms of their products. Very often they take their time to actually make an admission, and you're partially right, without apportioning blame, because when the matters are sitting in front of courts, you almost want to wait out the process and tell events as they unfold in court. But the reality is, the world over, companies find themselves in a murkier situation, especially where their own products are involved, the brand is involved, and their reputation is at a higher risk, especially when it comes to the trust that the customers have towards the products.
Tsepo, it's so interesting. I mean, base of increased authenticity for branding, increased democratization of media, access to information, you will find organizations, corporations, governments, as you rightly say, still denying in the face of the fact, even when there may be litigious underpin. For example, paying fines to financial authorities without an admission of guilt, but you're still paying a couple of billion. If you think about some of the companies that were named in the state capture case, you think about, for example, Life Isidimeni. You know, the loss of life happened here, and individuals are now years later admitting and facing legal consequences. Why is it so difficult to admit or acknowledge a situation, even when the facts are laid bare and accountability or liability is likely going to be paid regardless?
Yeah, so there are a couple of realities. The main one is the fact that as an entity, you are not responsible for the entity alone. So, for example, the management of a company like Tiger Brands are not accountable for that entity on their own. There are employees, there are different stakeholders, and then there are shareholders. Where companies get it wrong is that they forget that very principle, that their very existence is about shared value, where society benefits, shareholders benefit, and various other stakeholders benefit. And in that sense, the community benefits. And in that sense, it's better to play a more collaborative role when there's a crisis than an antagonistic role where you deny first for the first 5 years and play delaying tactics in the legal environment. And largely, the reason why they don't want to take responsibility from the outset is because individuals may also at a later stage be held accountable. So I may apologize on behalf of my company, but at a later stage, I might be held liable as an individual because there will be consequences whenever, especially where serious negligence has taken place and may have resulted in loss of life, as we have seen with the specific incident that took place with Tiger Brands. And so it is pretty much about the entity and the individuals trying as much as they can to avoid liability, financial liability. But in addition, when you look at the different cases, especially that happened in the auditing fraternity, most of those organizations were trying to avoid reputational damage, because that may actually lead to closure of your business in the short to medium long term. And so that's a reality. At the core of it is avoiding or minimizing liability and minimizing the loss of trust in the long run.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what an apology implies. A very interesting CNN article highlights the cultural implications of apology. How in Japan, you know, while respect and apology may be attributed through a very deep bow and a very direct apology, the public might not necessarily anticipate, might not appreciate that as remorse. Whereas in the United States, to your point, apologies will be seen as admission of guilt. In South Africa, since you raised government, I mean, I would run out of fingers counting the number of times the ANC government has apologized to us. But it doesn't seem to sit, it doesn't seem to hit culturally as a sense of accountability or admission of wrongdoing. It is, it's almost like a comforting cultural impact in South Africa. So as a reputation expert here in South Africa, what would you recommend for most companies, organizations, governments? How would you approach, for example, a crisis be handled?
Yeah, so firstly, I mean, in the context of the public sector, especially where politics is involved, South Africans are a very, very forgiving nation. And so where people go and create offenses, serious crimes, and they still get forgiven, they come back, they bounce back, they invest a lot of money in rebuilding their reputation and their brands. But in the private sector, you can't escape liability that easily. And that's why you'll see people trying to avoid liability. I'll just, before I go into the recommendations, one of the things that companies need to remind themselves about when they're faced with a crisis of this nature where trust is at risk is to remind themselves about their values. And when you look at, for example, Tiger Brands, what they called are their values. One of their key values is that we treat each other with care and respect. And but they take it further and they say safety and quality is a priority, is a non-negotiable for us. So what you expect for a company is to live according to the values, because most companies have, and in as much as also Tiger Brands has, integrity and accountability. So if you live according to your values, if you are guided by your values, you are almost going to say, we are allowing the process of legal difficulties to unfold. But what we do say and commit is that we will live according to their values, our values, which means that we will be fair to everyone. We will be honest and we'll embrace the process. And we won't try to frustrate the process through dragging matters in legal fashion. And lastly, I think, I mean, there are many, many aspects to crisis communication, but the key thing is to never to withhold the truth. I think the truth needs to be told from the outset and consistently. And it is that consistency that you want, so that you avoid a situation where one environment or one part of the company says one thing and then another spokesperson says the other, as we've seen during our load shedding crisis in South Africa, where the presidency would say one thing, the minister in public enterprises would say another, and at the time, the minister of energy would say something else, and then the ANC would say something completely different through their secretary general or spokesperson. And so it is then having an alignment between all stakeholders about what is the position of the company on a specific issue, or the position of government on a specific issue, so that the narrative is controlled, but the narrative is truthful, factual, and consistent. It is when you become inconsistent and you don't live in line with what you've promised, because isn't it the brand is actually a promise that is fulfilled. And when you make a promise, but you don't live according to those promises, and most of the promises are in the mission, vision, but importantly in the brand promise. They are also in the values that companies articulate on their various mediums, especially on their websites. And so unless you live consistently in line with your values, guided by these values, you are going to and experience problems along the way.
So here's what's frustrating me is, on the one hand, live by your values, but on the other hand, you're sort of you're saying, or you've said in some of your thoughts here, that a public apology would damage a company's reputation. Again, so consumers the world over have so much access to information. Media is democratized. Advertising takes a backseat these days to authenticity. I would imagine that financial losses, reputational loss, is immediately stemmed by not just what you highlighted, which is acknowledgement, apology, but certainly consistency. You know, in a Google search, anybody can within seconds highlight the inconsistencies. And I imagine companies' hypocrisy has cost them more than not apologizing.
You're probably absolutely right. So the idea is not necessarily that an apology would render your reputation harmed, but the essence of why companies would take their time to digest the issue and formulate it and even involve their lawyers, sometimes at their own peril. The idea there is for companies, at least at that stage, is to minimize liability. Because you know, the last thing you want is to for somebody to go and make an apology when they actually didn't have all the facts. I think there's a difference between an apology and demonstrating empathy and care.
Sure.
And the first thing to that you want to do is to demonstrate empathy, care, and that word you've used, authenticity, where you say to society and you say to the community, we acknowledge that there is an event taking place. And this event, as far as we are concerned, is undergoing investigations. While that investigation takes place, here are the steps we are taking to help those who are harmed or those who are unsatisfied or those who lost their families and things like that. And in that manner, you demonstrate that as an entity, at least, you are operating within the context of humanity and humility, and that you understand that you are not operating in an isolation, that you operate within an ecosystem that involves people, and people expect at least honesty, they expect communication and stakeholder engagement. And many a times, these things go wrong because people are not spoken to.
Indeed. Stakeholders are not just shareholders. You've got your environment, your community, your clients, your employees. And of course, values can't just be a mural or some kind of a sign in the lobby of your business and not lived. So I appreciate this. It really is like any other relationship, isn't it, Tsepo? You can't just walk around in your relationship saying, sorry, gay. You've got to kind of mean it.
Absolutely.
And change your behavior.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so I've really
appreciated
this.
Absolutely, and that's where you can hear someone saying.
Yes, you can.
I was going to say that's why you often hear someone say, you know, I appreciate that you acknowledge the problem, but you don't have sincerity, and that sincerity is very important.
It surely is. Tsepo Matseba is the Managing Director of Reputation First and giving us some insight on why corporates might not apologize much. So there's an understanding as to what your reasoning is, but I think really great recommendations, especially if you own a business out there, about your sincerity, coming forth, taking accountability as quickly as possible. It's 7:37. Before we head over to hear from Phumelo Modene about what you can look forward to between 8 and 10, we will be speaking to Nafisa Akbar about the iPhone drop, and we'll be hearing a little bit from the iStore CEO. But one of the polls we put on X, I really hate saying X, I just feel like it makes Elon win, on Twitter, in the name of Jack Dorsey, well, formerly known as Twitter, the question was, with the new iPhone 16 expected to land in SA in late September, we want to know, how often do you upgrade your phone? 70%, 69% of you said use it till it dies. 23% of you said more than 3 years, and 7.5% of you said less than 3 years. And I find that very interesting, because I've been doing iPhone since the one, and I would say that the first 10 versions, it would be 1 to 2 years. Or the second the upgrade on my contract happens. Keep telling us your answers and maybe those will change. But I find it very intriguing that we've moved to a huge majority, more than 2/3 of you saying you would wait until your phone dies. As I scroll through my iPhone 13 that I got in lockdown. hold on to it until it dies. With a cracked lens, by the way.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.